own. Mike, man, thank you so much for, I guess, calling into the podcast. I want to, before we even get started on fantasy football, man, I just want to say I have been a fan of your stuff for quite some time. You helped me get a championship, so thank you. I have been following some of your stuff that you have done. I've heard you on other podcasts. You're a writer. You know what? Before we get into this, just plug away all Mike Randall, everything, you know, where they can reach you, they can see you on social media, all of that stuff. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, thanks, Sam. Yeah, you can see me on, get me on Twitter at Fantasy Warrior. That's FTSY Warrior Mike, Fantasy Warrior Mike. And I'm writing for LastWordOnSports.com and at the Roto Underworld as well.
You also are part of the Fantasy Sports Writers Association. Now, that's some big stuff, man. I mean, like, you shaking it up with people I like Jamie Eisenberg. I watch CBS. He's shouted you out a few times in the, like, Twitter section.
Yeah, Jamie's a great guy, and Adam Pfeffer is, too, from Roto Curve. So I've had a chance to mock with both of those guys, and great guys. Listen to them all the time on their podcasts, and it's just great talk about fantasy football, man. It's the best time of the year.
Oh, yeah, I am so amped for this time, and I listen to those guys as well as Pilar Lastra. You know, she, yeah. The SiriusXM, what is it, Everyman's Fantasy, yeah, Everyman's Fantasy, that's what it's called.
Everyman's Fantasy, yep, that's it. Yeah, there's great, a lot of great people out there just talking about it, and you can get them on Sirius and on a bunch of different websites as well, but anything I can get my hands on, I want to listen to and talk about, so there's great people, absolutely.
Yeah, special time of the year, man, and I want to thank you for calling in and helping us out, because we're all fantasy upped over here. The whole podcast, where our draft is coming up in a few short weeks, like it, pretty much everyone else's, if they haven't drafted already. And one thing I want to do, I want to tap into, sometimes, you know, we sound like experts. Let me tell it, I am a fantasy football expert. But sometimes we got to go to the people like yourself, the real experts. And one thing I want to touch on, a few things we talked about offline is, could you help us out? Or because we got a few newbies in the group, as well as, I'm pretty sure, fantasy teams all around. Some of the few fantasy mistakes that people, you know, that they make in the draft. You know, common mistakes that help them avoid those, you know?
Sure, absolutely. First thing you got to look at with your draft is you have to know what the structure of your roster is. I've seen people so many times, there's a league that I played in last year that I was fortunate enough to win on CBS. You start 9 players and you got 5 people on the bench. That's not a big bench at all when you get to your bye weeks. So a lot of times people sit there and they end up drafting too many guys that they want to hold on to. Like a few years ago, like a Josh Gordon for the Browns, and you could hold on to Josh Gordon, you're waiting for him to come back, and then you really hamstring yourself when you get to those bye weeks. So sometimes, you know, if you got a small bench right off the bat, make sure that you're wise with it and you just don't grab too many flyers that aren't going to contribute for you on a week-to-week basis. Second thing I think you have to have is a plan, right? I mean, everybody's all the rave now, everyone's talking about pick wide receivers early, don't pick running backs. You can win it any way you want to win it. There's people who love Gronkowski in the first round. I don't. But just have some sort of plan, have some sort of idea, because once that clock starts running and it's like a minute 30 or whatever it is, you know, the pressure gets to you, and the guy in front of you takes your pick, and you're just stuck there scrambling. That's not what you want to have happen. So those are two of the biggest ones that I see right off the bat. Know your roster and have a plan.
Personally, we play in a PPR league, and as tempting as, and I don't want to get too deep into it, I guess we could call back, we get into this, the zero RB mindset. That's where my head is now. But at that same time, I mean, you may have to abandon that plan. Like you said, the person in front of you may take somebody. And quite honestly, if I see like a Ty Gurley in front of me, I'm going to take it. I'm going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You have to have, you can win it any way you want to win it. I always say that it's not going to be won at the draft. You can lose your league at the draft, but at the draft is when you're going to set yourself up, give yourself a chance, and then you're going to have to make moves. If you like Gurley, which makes total sense, All right? That's a guy you have to target and believe in. It's not like there's one way to do it. It just has to be the way that you feel comfortable drafting.
Well, I'm still probably going to go with the zero RB mindset, mainly because it is a safe play. But since we're talking about targets, I brought up Gurley. We are in PPR. What is 10 targets that you would recommend for PPR?
Well, that's a good question. I'm with you, Sam, on the zero RB. Last year, I went strictly with running backs on passing teams and then ended up working out. So I'm a zero RB guy. I'm going to wait. I want running backs that are going to be catching passes and are going to be involved in the passing game, because what you're seeing now is even a guy like Todd Gurley, as great as he was last year, and he was incredible, his snap share was only 55%, which means he was only on the field for 55% of the plays he could have been on. So to me, if you're going to only have that guy, he better get those touchdowns and he better not get hurt. That's why I like to look at targets like the following, like a Duke Johnson of Cleveland. All right, 60 catches last year, 61 catches, and now he's got Hugh Jackson. A guy near your home right now, Theo Riddick of Detroit.
Love
Theo Riddick. I mean, the guy's a third down machine. Everyone focuses on Abdullah. Riddick is a steady roll guy. He's going to catch a lot of passes, and he's going to get a lot of yards. So those type of guys is what I'm looking for. You know, like I said, a Duke, a Theo Riddick. Bilal Powell out here in New York. Everyone's talking about Matt Forte. Now they're talking about sharing his workload with Bilal Powell. So those type of guys right off the bat come to mind. Other guys late in the draft that I'm looking at from the wide receiver position, you know, people are shying away from Baltimore because they had such a tough season in terms of record last year. But the Ravens did throw the ball more than any other team in the NFL. So if you're in a PPR league, you have to look at a guy like a Justin Forsett. Breaks his arm last year, people forgot about him, and he doesn't necessarily get the ball at the goal line, but he was on the field for 77% of the plays. 77%, so think about that. Todd Gurley was on there for 55, he's on for 77%. And on a team with a Mark Trestman offense and a guy who's catching the ball, that's something that I want to be a part of. Other guys, wide receivers. You know, there's no respect for a guy like Marcus Wheaton on Pittsburgh for some reason, but no Martavius Bryant there. Sammy Coates had two fumbles in the preseason game.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and Marcus Wheaton's a guy who came on last year a little bit with Roethlisberger, so he's going to have to look to someone else besides Antonio Brown, who's great. We know that. So that's a guy that I like as well. With the same rationale, Willie Snead down in New Orleans. They got a lot of mouths to feed, but with Brandon Cooks there, he's the number one. Snead looks bigger in the preseason. He looks stronger. He's fast. He had some nice games last year, so that's a guy that I'm definitely looking for as well. And just to give you a couple more to round it out, if you're looking for late-round flyers, everyone's talking about Kelvin Benjamin in Carolina. And listen, Kelvin Benjamin was a great play 2 years ago. He had some great numbers in his rookie season. But I like Devin Funchess better. I can get Devin Funchess in the 12th round. A lot of what Kelvin Benjamin did came at the end of the games 2 years ago. So I'm not so sure that I'd rather have Devin Funchess in the 12th round than Kelvin Benjamin, who's going in like the 5th round or 6th round of PPR drafts. And then the last guy that I'm really kind of targeting is I'm all in on Tevin Coleman, and I wrote an article for this on Roto Underworld. Devonta Freeman was lights out. We know that. But at this time last year, the Falcons wanted Tevin Coleman to be the guy. And Freeman only came on when Coleman got hurt. And then Freeman was averaging 3.1, 2.8 yards per carry on the last few games. So they want to get Tevin Coleman involved. And I'll take a goal line running back, like I said, on a team like Atlanta. So he can still catch passes. He caught him in college. So those are some guys that are late rounds that I really, really like.
Okay. All right. All right. And you did kind of wake me up on Forsett, because that team was a dumpster fire towards the end of the season. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but you get so high. I'm so high on Kamara Aiken, I totally forgot about Forsett.
Yeah, both of them are. Kamara Aiken's great. He gets no respect. The guy, you know, Steve Smith, we love Steve Smith. He's one of my favorite players ever. But, you know, when the doctors are telling you that your ankle looks like shredded chicken, that's not a good thing. So he may be a little slow coming back. Kamara Aiken is the number one guy there. Wallace has been on three teams now in 3 years. He gets no respect, but that team passes the ball a ton, and Forsett's going to be involved as well.
Okay. I got to ask, any sleepers this year? Just five people that maybe you need to look out for, maybe your mid to late round picks, someone who's going to explode, some sleepers.
Yeah, I read everything about the Colts going to three wide receivers, and that sounds great because Andrew Luck was pretty much regarded as a first-round pick last year, and now all of a sudden we're forgetting how good the Colts offense is. I'm not so much into T.Y. Hilton. He's real solid, and Dante Moncrief was there last year, but I can get Philip Dorsett in round 14, and if he's going to be on the field on a regular three-wide receiver set in that offense, he's going to put up some big numbers, and you can get him way, way late. Couple other guys. Doriel Green Beckham just got traded to Philadelphia. I've loved Rishard Matthews in Tennessee before that trade, and I love him even more now. That guy produced in Miami. I guess he's not flashy enough, and that's why right now, according to the Fantasy Football Calculator, he's being drafted in 181st, 14th round pick. But that's a wide receiver one that you can get in a PPR league that should give you 70 catches and 1,000 yards, no problem. And no one's even talking about him. And then just a couple other guys. James Starks, another one I put an article about. He gets on the field 49% of the time with Eddie Lacy. He's the passing two-minute drill guy. He's a guy that if Lacy comes out of the block slow and has some issues, he's going to be on the field a lot too. And you get him on a big discount as well. So, those are some of the guys I'm looking at and trying to target.
Okay, okay. Now, here go the thing. We try to anticipate this every year, but busts. Who are some top five busts that you could kind of see coming for 2016?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Sam. And I'll define bust as somebody where you take this player and you look back halfway through the year and say, what is the problem? That's how I define a bust. So these aren't guys who are necessarily not going to, you know, finish out of the top 30, but I'm saying you're going to be really disappointed with their value. The first one off the bat, which I wrote about a few months ago at Last Word, Ezekiel Elliott. Listen, I think Ezekiel Elliott's got great metrics. I think the guy's behind a tremendous offensive line in Dallas. Don't get me wrong. But going into the draft, people were not talking about him as like the number one pick. They said maybe Dallas, and if not Dallas, then Miami at pick 13, and if not Miami, he could drop. All of a sudden, he goes to Dallas, and now I'm hearing that he's going to have 300 carries behind a great offensive line, no doubt, but to protect Tony Romo, which is really what the Cowboys have to do, right? Because without Tony Romo, that team is done. There's no way that they're going to use him as a three-down back. No chance. If you take Ezekiel Elliott in the first round, this is what you're going to see in Cowboy games. He's going to play the first and second down. He's going to come out on the third down. He's then going to come out for a series for Darren McFadden. Then he's going to go back in again. I think the guy can easily get 1,000 yards. I think he can get you 8 touchdowns. But people had drafted him with like the 3rd or 4th pick overall. That's a massive disappointment. So that's the first one. Second one that I don't know why people understand is, if you're telling me that Rob Gronkowski is going to perform at the level he's always performed at, then you're basically telling me that Tom Brady doesn't make a difference. And I find that hard to believe. 4 games of Jimmy Garoppolo, Brady's 39, he's coming back rusty, and people will tell you, they'll say, well, it doesn't matter, the defense knows it's going to Gronkowski, he catches it anyway. Yeah, he catches it when Tom Brady's throwing the ball, but I got a feeling opening night against Arizona, they're going to be guarding Gronkowski with Garoppolo back there. So again, you take him in the first round, I think you're going to be real disappointed with his production. Another guy, DeMarco Murray. Listen, DeMarco had a great year a couple of years ago with the Cowboys behind a solid offensive line, I get that. Real disappointing in Philadelphia. Now he's in Tennessee. He had a good first preseason game, Sam, but let's take it easy because Sam Bradford had a great preseason last year as well for the Eagles, and that didn't work out too well. I think DeMarco is a tweener. Is he really physical? No, he's kind of physical. Is he super fast? No, he's not super fast. His juke rate was just average. He's not real. He doesn't make a lot of missed tackles, and he's got Derrick Henry right behind him. So that's a guy I have never looked at and never taken in any of my drafts that I've done. Last two I'll touch on. Ben Roethlisberger going ahead of Drew Brees when Ben Roethlisberger in his career has 1 year of 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, and Drew Brees has done that every year for the last 6 years, makes no sense to me. So I would hold off on Roethlisberger. And the last one will surprise you. I put it out on Roto Underworld, and I got half responses either way. A.J. Green. A.J. Green is a phenomenal wide receiver, and if you're the head coach of a team, Sam, you want A.J. Green on your team, right? But the fact is, he's very feast or famine, and no one's talking about it. Last year, from weeks 4 to 11, he had one double-digit fantasy week in standard scoring leagues. People are moving him up in PPR to like the fifth or sixth pick. I think Jamie just took him as a fifth pick in one of his mock drafts. I don't see that. In Andy Dalton's best year, which was last year, highest completion percentage he ever had, around 64%, he had 8 weeks there where he only had one double-digit fantasy scoring. Now, there's no targets next to him. Marvin Jones is with you guys in Detroit.
Right.
And Sanu's down in Atlanta. And Andy Dalton isn't exactly the most accurate guy. So I think if you take AJ Green in a PPR in week 5, you're going to look at him after the first 4 games and go, look to your buddy and hope that your buddy pats you on the back when you go, well, anyone would take an A.J. Green, right? Well, that's not the case. I wouldn't have taken him in round 1. I think he's going to disappoint.
Wow. The A.J. Green, that shocked me because in my mock draft, I picked him up 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And, Gronk, I could kind of see that. I could kind of see Gronk, but A.J. Green is the big shocker out of the bus right there. Because
You'll have weeks when he gets your 20, 24 points. I mean, no doubt about it. But I have. If you just look at the numbers, you'll have weeks where you'll say, well, how'd that happen exactly?
All right. Well, I guess we could close on this. Like, underrated, overrated. What are 5 underrated PPR standard or just 5 underrated players, ADP-wise, that you can think of? Just people who... Yeah,
sure. I'll go quickly for you. AP's underrated all day. Adrian Peterson, all he does is get double-digit touchdowns. And people tend to shy away from him because he's not catching as many passes sometimes with Jerick McKinnon. But as I told you before, what running back who's a goal line back is catching a lot of passes. So Peterson is undervalued. We talked about Forsett already. Duke Johnson, I said, is way undervalued because I think the Browns, you know, unfortunately for Browns fans, may be trailing a lot of times. He's going to be on the field a ton. I love Dorsett. The big one I like is Melvin Gordon. Listen, Melvin Gordon in San Diego didn't have a touchdown last year, and I get that, but they gave him a lot of money. He looked good in that first preseason game. The Chargers had 11 different offensive lines last year, so let's assume they're healthy. And Danny Woodhead's a nice, you know, scat back that catches some passes. But Gordon's going to find the end zone. He's going to find the end zone at least 8 times this year.
Okay. And you got closed out. If they're underrated, you got to do overrated. 5 overrated.
Sure. Overrated guys. DeAndre Hopkins, Nook is a tremendous wide receiver. I just don't like what I saw out of Brock Osweiler, and I'm not sure you're going to get the value that you want from him. Devonta Freeman, like I said, he's going to be disappointing. He's going to catch a lot of passes, but Tevin Coleman's going to take a much, much bigger role. Thomas Rawls is a guy who averaged 5.6 yards a carry and did great in Seattle. But, you know, Sam, I believe where there's smoke, there's fire. And the coaches have been talking up Christine Michael. And I don't think they're doing that just for fun. So there's a chance that he could definitely lose some touches and not meet his value, which is right now he's in the 3rd round, which is a little early for Thomas Rawls. Demaryius Thomas, great wide receiver, but great wide receiver with Peyton Manning. Last year with Osweiler, he was hit or miss. He gets a lot of targets, but that's going to be Mark Sanchez throwing the ball to him. And he did tie for the league lead in drops last year at 11, so I don't think he's necessarily hitting his value either. And I'll finish it off for you with my last guy, which is Jeremy Langford. I don't know what Chicago's going to do. They talked about a running back by committee. I think Langford's a hit-or-miss guy, and I don't like hit-or-miss guys. We like consistency, right? Sam, you want to roll out. Right. You want to start your fantasy league. You want to get to 2 o'clock, and you want your guy to have a touchdown already by the first hour. That's what you want. And with Langford, he just scares me. And if I can't figure it out, I just stay away.
All right, but in all seriousness, I'm in Detroit. I'm a little biased. No one knows what the hell Chicago's going to do. I mean...
Right, so in general, you may want to stay away as well. But, I think in that division, I don't think that's the play, and I think they're going to be in for a tough time of it.
All right, well, Mike, you know, you are always welcome on this podcast. Thank you for your insight. I'm sure you helped a lot of people out, myself included, because you have changed my mind on a few things, especially the AJ Green thing, because now I'm really sitting back and thinking about it, and you make a lot of sense. As much as I like that Green Dalton combination, Yeah, it was some lean moments last year, and it's starting to ring a bell. So, like I said, you are always welcome on this podcast. This won't be your last time. I want you to call in. We'll reach out to you throughout the season. And thank you, because you helped me a lot, and I know you helped a lot more people. But if you want to help a lot more people, where can they find you online? One more time.
Thanks, Sam. I appreciate it. I'll come on anytime you want. It was a pleasure. Again, Twitter, at Fantasy Warrior, FTSY, Fantasy Warrior Mike, at Last Word on Sports, at Roto Underworld.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Thanks, Sam. Have a great one. Good luck in the season.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.